Good morning. Before we begin, I would just like a quick show of hands. How many of you attended the Eucharistic Congress yesterday? Let me see. Okay, very good. Yeah. I wish I could have made it. What a great year this would have been. The speaker lineup was fantastic. Unfortunately, I was driving back from a trip to Florida and I missed it, but you know, it was just must have been a wonderful day. I know that well over 30,000 people attended, heard great talks, shared in great fellowship and educational and praise and worship opportunities. Of course, the central attraction, the focus of any Eucharistic Congress is our Lord Himself present in His Blessed Sacrament. And so praise God for the opportunity that we are afforded in this diocese each year on Corpus Christi weekend to come together in such great numbers and show our love and worship of the Lord. Today, in our readings for Corpus Christi Sunday, we've heard in the Old Testament reading, the first reading, and also in our Gospel, an awful lot about covenant and sacrifice and blood. And it's probably important to take a moment, step back, and place some context and perspective around what we're hearing and what we're hearing proclaimed, and to understand it because it's at the center of our faith. And sometimes things become too familiar to us and we may lose sight of the central importance and the power and the gift that we have. The passage, for example, from Exodus, which is our first from the book from which our first reading was taken today, recounts the moment when the old covenant, which was mediated by Moses between God and Israel, was sealed, and it was sealed in the blood of the offering. And so Moses sprinkles the blood of the offering upon the altar, which represented God, and of course on the people of Israel. And in doing so, this act, this celebration, this liturgical ritual celebration, consecrated the Israelites to right living, to right belief, to right worship, to right relationship with their God. They were actually set apart for a holy purpose, to become a holy people, to be a holy people. This ritual offering and consecration, though also prefigures, it prefigured the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The reason why we're all gathered in this church this morning, the celebration of the Mass. God had Moses lead the people, His chosen people, out of the bondage they had been under in Egypt in order to teach them. You know, we may think when we think about Moses leading God's people out of Egypt that he's leading them to the promised land, and that's true. But we have to understand that he was leading them into the wilderness in order to teach them truth and to teach them how he desired them to worship. You see, they had been living for so long in Egypt that they had adopted, they had been taken in by the ways in which the Egyptians worshiped their false gods. They had forgotten the ways of the one true God. And so God is having Moses lead them into the wilderness to teach them and to teach them right worship. And he gives them this liturgy. You see, liturgy is not something that we sit in a corner or around a conference table as a committee and formulate and create. It is a gift that has been given to us and received by us from God Himself. And this liturgy that He's given us began, the liturgy that we celebrate today has grown organically all the way back in time since it was given at Sinai to the Israelites. And it's what we celebrate in our own day, principally in the Mass, which is our participation in the heavenly liturgy. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. And in today's gospel taken from St. Mark, Jesus gathered his chosen apostles together in the upper room to observe the Jewish Passover. You see, it is in this liturgical setting of Passover, of the Passover meal, that he instituted the Eucharist. and revealed himself to be the true Lamb of God, who would lay his life down for his flock. You see, Jesus made the connection between himself and the Passover lamb, which had been sacrificed when the Jews were able to leave Egypt. The altar of sacrifice on which the Lord redeemed us is his cross on Calvary. I know I've transitioned to that very quickly. Let's repeat that. The altar of sacrifice on which the Lord redeemed us is his cross on Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, sealed the new and eternal covenant when that cross was lifted up nearly 2,000 years ago. And here is the great gift of Holy Mass that Jesus gives to us. You see, Jesus made it possible for that once-for-all sacrifice to be present to us in our own day. Wherever we are at Holy Mass, celebrated, we're at the foot of the cross. So to be at Holy Mass is to be at the foot of his cross on Calvary. But also, to be at Mass is to be lifted up and welcomed to the Supper of the Lamb in heaven's liturgy. You see, across the ages, we have heard the call, Sursum Corda, and we have responded, Habemus ad Dominum. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. At Mass, think about this, at Mass, we are invited to receive Holy Communion, that is, to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, truly present in the most blessed sacrament, to receive his body and blood, just like the Israelites consumed the lamb that had been offered at that first Passover. We consume the victim offered by the priest, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. That representation of that once-for-all sacrifice that Christ made of himself to the Father. This invitation then to communion, as you can see, came at a terrible price. A price that was paid for by the suffering, death, and blood of Jesus Christ, our God. This is how Jesus invites us to worship him. Everything we're just talking about is how our God has invited us to worship him and to deepen our communion with him and to be able then to go forth and share the good news of the gospel and continue the work of the Lord in our world. One cannot truly know the Lord unless one says yes to this invitation. This is so important. This is why the church teaches us that the Holy Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. You see, when we assist at Holy Mass, let me just emphasize these points. The bread and wine offered undergo a change of substance. The bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The appearance of bread and wine remain, but the substance is Christ, whole and entire. The tiniest particle and fragment of the sacred host is the whole and entire Christ. The smallest drop of the precious blood is the whole and entire Christ. And you see, Jesus Christ demands that we believe this, doesn't he? In chapter 6 of John's Gospel, Jesus demands that we receive him as the living bread come down from heaven. He places that choice before us. We either humbly believe and receive him in the Eucharist, or we reject him altogether. We are to eat his flesh and drink his blood, or we will not have life in us. Those are his words. Those are not mine. Jesus Christ is really, truly, substantially, even physically, though not extended in space, present in the tabernacles of our churches. And at every celebration of the Holy Mass, by the sacred action of the priest acting in the person of Christ in persona Christi, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present upon this altar that you see here to my left. At every celebration of the Holy Mass, the sacrifice of Calvary is mystically made present to us in our time and space. We are at the foot of the cross, though the once-for-all sacrifice is represented to us in an unbloody manner. At every celebration of Holy Mass, we are mystically lifted up to join and participate in the heavenly liturgy, the Supper of the Lamb. The living, risen Christ is made present to us in our time and in our space, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in this most blessed of sacraments, the most blessed sacrament. All of the above, all of that and more, is what makes this space within these walls, that is, the space within a Catholic church, sacred space. That is why when you enter this space, you bless yourself with holy water, recalling your baptism. Every time you enter this church, you do that. It is why you genuflect before you enter your pew. It is why the priest, deacons, and altar servers, if they are not carrying sacred objects, show reverence at the foot of the sanctuary when they process in. That is why lectors and extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion do the same when they come forward to serve. We all reverently, respectfully acknowledge the unique presence of our Lord in this building, in this church, in our very midst. It is why our Archbishop, when he consecrated the space, went around the exterior walls where you see the crosses below the candles and anointed with oil each of those crosses, placing the mark that separates the secular world and space on the outside from the sacred space on the inside. This is what makes the nave and the sanctuary and the transepts of our churches different from all other spaces, including other worship space, other Christian worship space that we might use for praise and worship and other purposes. He has given us this gift in order to nourish us spiritually and to set us apart as God's holy people, to make us holy, to make us be holy as he desires us to be, to provide us the spiritual food that sustains and leads us through this pilgrimage in this world to our true home in heaven. At Holy Mass, Catholics who believe in his real presence, who are free from mortal sin, and who are properly disposed are invited to receive him in Holy Communion and to be transformed and sanctified by him. You see, that's the consequence. We enter into an ever deeper communion and an ever deeper love every time we receive him properly. And in becoming joined more perfectly to him, the bond that gathers us all together as a people of God is strengthened as well. And then we are enabled, empowered, if you will, to be able to go forth beyond these walls to share Jesus Christ, to share him with those who need him in their lives. I would ask maybe one thing that we could do going forward that might be of great help. I know will be of great help. And that is the proper preparation now that we are embracing, are fully placing ourselves in the midst of this mystery, this sacred mystery, with a greater understanding that we will do more to prepare for participating in this liturgical celebration. And that means that we need to pray more. That means that as we prepare to come to Mass, that preparation doesn't begin just a few moments after we arrive, but actually begins in the days leading up to our celebration of Holy Mass. Certainly on the morning that we begin getting ready, we've got so much to do. We've got to wake up, we have to get the children out of bed, get everybody washed and cleaned and dressed, out to the car, come on, we're gonna be late, and get in the car and we have to go. Hopefully we don't turn on the radio and listen to talk radio or something on the way in. What we need to be doing is praying. We need to be placing ourselves in the presence of God. And when we arrive at church, as we move from that secular space through the transitional sacred space of the narthex and into the church itself, we realize where we are, what takes place here, who is here, and we enter into an ever-deepening prayer desiring nothing more than to be able to love our God more and more each day, because the more we love our God, the more we're going to love one another. God bless you.